Hey, what's up, guys? This is Stu2K from Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
You don't know how much I need you. While you're near me, I don't feel blue. And when we kiss, I know you need me too. I can't believe I found a love that's so pure and true. But it all was bullshit. It was a goddamn joke. And when I think of you,
Stewie,
I hope you fucking choke.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. It is March 28th, 2018, 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Episode 98 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Joining me tonight, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Yeah, you made it sound like a guest was coming on, you know?
No, just you. Just you. But just we are me. Minus one host, because as we said last week at the end of the show, Brett will not be joining us for at least this week, maybe next week, maybe never again. I don't know. I don't know how the whole situation works, but he had a second baby, so you know, we're happy for him. We're happy for Brett.
Baby boy,
Bryce, healthy, alert, you know.
Just I think he's already on the gaming chair,
sucking on those mama's nipples, latching on, as the babies do.
The dream for some of us.
Hey, nips are nips. I'm not here to judge a baby. So, Brett is enjoying fatherhood part two. So, we'll see how all that works out. But, for tonight, we have a lot to get to. So, let's get into it. As always, we're going to end the show with some e-news. We are streaming the show. This is the first time we're streaming, so I guess I should start with that, too. First time we're ever doing this. So, if the audio sounds weird, if the balances aren't correct, just put it in the chat. Hit us up on Twitter, at The Center Ring, something like that, right? Just let us know and we'll tweak it, whether it be live or later. I don't know, bro. We'll figure it out, though. But until then, you can let us know on Twitter, at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. Hit us up on our Discord, all that good stuff, social media, whatever the kids are into these days. And we'll go from there. Maybe we'll hit up some Twitch questions or something. I don't know. We're kind of playing this by ear. But then we will get into some Overwatch League talk towards the end of the show. We want to introduce a brand new segment. This is called Over Under. It's a very original idea. In fact, I don't think any sports show has ever done an Over and Under segment.
Ever.
This is so original. But we will, you know, go over some odds, let you know if it's going to go over or under. It's how that works. And to start the show off, though, all right, there were a lot of rumors flying around this week. Oh, I'm sorry. Not rumors. I'm sorry. There were a lot of per sources floating around this week in Counter-Strike that roster moves were coming left and right. So 99% of them haven't been confirmed yet, though. So we'll talk about that, but let's first talk about the one that we do know for sure, and that is Taco is no longer a part of SK Gaming. That's been confirmed. Taco has came out and said it. He's no longer part of the unit, the family, the familia.
I mean, I'm surprised, aren't you?
I really am.
They're on the verge of winning every major. They're competitive in every tournament. Granted, they haven't had the best finishes. You know, they haven't come out on top recently they had their, you know, their run of spree of majors early on, and since then it's, you know, kind of dipped here and there, but I've always considered them an elite threat and a top three team in the world.
Yeah, and it's weird, like, if there was going to be one person to move off that team, it's weird that it was Taco. I mean, I don't know, you look at the SK roster and you don't know who you would move, right, for every reason that you just mentioned. The fact that
you're
still top of the team.
Fallen and Cold are untouchable, right? Even Fur, though, at this point. Fur has become untouchable also. I mean, for what he does for that team, he's, you know, he's been the MVP of, I think, a couple of their most recent tournaments.
So you
where
think
you've seen kind
Bolts
of a dip
is too new to make the
move?
I mean, there was rumors that
really
he was leaving,
with
though.
Them. There were, and that's kind of where all the rumors kicked off, though, initially, right? So prior to Taco departing the team, rumors started flying around that Simple and Flamey, both from Na'Vi, were rumored to move over to SK, which would have been, I mean, you're talking about, for those of you that don't know, Simple is right now a top two player in the world, let's say.
I mean, if you've listened to the podcast, you know.
Yeah,
I
Simple
mean, we,
is one of the
we,
best
I don't think
there.
We've ever once said a negative thing about Simple.
So for him to join forces, I guess you could say, with Coldzera, that's like making one of those super teams, right, that you'd be accustomed to seeing in the NBA. I mean, we were really talking a super team with Simple, Fallen, Flamey, I mean, Coldzera. Didn't matter who the fifth was at that point. So when those rumors started flying around right after is when the Tarko departure happened. And people are like, oh, well, here we go. It's about to go down. And then all of a sudden, the rumors switched from Simple and Flamey are gone.
It completely swapped. And if you could tell from the intro, now the hot topic is Stewie from Cloud9 might be leaving Cloud9 to go join SK and replace Taco. And now...
What happened to your body when you heard that? Like, I want to know what physically happened to you.
I violently projectile vomited. Just
I don't blame you.
Instantly at work, I started crying. It was the snot cry, just freaking out. I do remember, though. I instantly got on our little show chat. I texted my buddy, Branderson, as you know. We're Cloud9 homers, and we were like, this can't be true. This can't be true. Like, out of all the teams, don't go to Liquid, right? Go to CLG, for crying out loud. NRG, I don't care. Go to any other team other than SK.
This is KD to the Warriors, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. But it hasn't happened yet, Anuj. We haven't gotten to that part where it's a done deal. Now, it's,
according to people, this was basically a done deal, right? Like,
yeah,
we were talking
so
moments
Decay,
away.
Decay
from
broke the story. He ended up tweeting out saying, you know, sources, per my sources, Stewie 2K in talks of joining SK. And then, like, quickly followed up that with a, oh, by the way, I pretty much mean that it's a done deal. It's going to happen. You know, I would be shocked. Even though it's been like 4 days now with no team making an announcement, I would legit be shocked to see if this really happens. Not for the fact that, like, of course you're going to take Stewie, but where does he fit with SK's roster? I mean, Taco was known for the playstyle of he did the dirty work, right? He would play any role. He'd be an entry fragger for you.
He was playing drop on Cubble, or he was soloing a spot, or he was playing a full true support role. Which is not what you see from Stewie in Cloud9's playstyle, right? He's
hard carry.
Yeah, I mean, he's asked to be the Coldzera of the team, right? Do a little bit of everything. You need to be the best rifler on the team, and at times you also need to be the best opera on the team, right? And so to find a role, you know, it's weird saying that. I think you find a role for him, right? Just because
anytime
you take a great talent onto a team, you make it work out. You move things around, and with Bolts being relatively new, they were already in the middle of some, you know, changes anyway. So it would be a great team. I think just inside, like, I can't believe it's, you know, if it's happening, I'd really, really be in shock. It would be pretty devastating news for the NA scene as a whole, just after coming off of a major win, which still doesn't feel that long ago. You know, they've had a couple of poor outings since then. Katowice comes to mind, Star Series, Season 4 was also bad. And then just recently getting eliminated at WESG to... Mm-hmm. I mean, who was the team? Team 1 or
Team
something?
1, yeah.
So some no-name Brazilian
team. You'll
team.
Never hear again.
Yeah, I think their best player just departed right after that tournament. So, I mean, there have been some ups and downs since that major win.
This speaks a lot, right? Like, so, say Cloud Nine is kind of in a funk right now, okay? And sure enough, albeit they have been since they've won the major, but they've also been tweeting out saying, like, this is the first time that they're home now for, like, 2 weeks since the major. So it's been tournament after tournament. Right. And so it just goes to the point that I've made 100 times on the show is that there is way too much going on in the Counter-Strike scene to where a team can go from winning a major and then within 3 months, you're not only talking about Stewie leaving for SK, but now there's rumors floating around that Skadoodle wants off, and I assumed probably just to retire, probably just to pull a Shroud and make that fat money streaming.
Yeah, but then I thought I even read something that they were potentially talking about Skadoodle joining another team. And so I'm not really sure what the rumors are with you know, at this point in time. It doesn't surprise me if he retires because he doesn't look like he loves it anymore. I think he loved that moment and winning the major, but I don't think he loves the grind of the game anymore. And even getting to meet him briefly, and meet him is a really wide, like, I mean, you use it for what you want at this point, but we got a chance to meet him backstage at ESL Pro League. Said hi, turned us down for anything that we would ask him to do. And not only that, turned everybody down for anything that they would ask him, whether it's, you know, getting a line or
he's
doing
not
an interview,
a talker.
Whatever. He's not somebody that's just into it for being into it. So it doesn't surprise me if he leaves, but having both of them depart, or the thought of both of them leaving, it's like a totally new team to me then. Because really, it's just the new guys that just joined that are left.
Well, it's kind of depressing because it kind of puts Cloud9 back where they were before Tarek and Rush joined. You know, you're going back to the... I mean, unless...
You're basically Optic Gaming.
I was going to say, unless, though, Taco does end up joining them. Stewie's departure will be not nearly as bad as if it's true that Taco would join Cloud9.
But Taco's also practicing with Liquid right now.
Yeah, we don't need to know that, though. We don't need to know that.
They're saying possibly for Steel, and that could cause a whole ripple.
Wait, for Steel?
Yeah, for Steel. Steel or Nitro, but I don't think it's Nitro. I think it would be Steel if they had to replace somebody at this point.
Why would they replace Steel, though?
Because Taco would be...
Just like as a pure...
Taco's a better player.
It's not you, it's him. Like, it's not that Steel's doing bad, we just want Taco.
We would rather have you over him. I don't agree with that, though, just to put that on the record. Like, I think that would be a bad move. I think they are a growing team, and Steel is an awesome locker room personality. I mean, he is a guy you're going to want in your back pocket when times get tough. Plus, he led a team to, you know, led a team to the finals in the major. They lost to Gambit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's inexperienced, but if Skadoodle leaves, that's the bigger issue because it's harder to replace an op. There's not many ops in the NA scene. I mean, who do you get? JDM? Or, I mean, what else is out there? Nifty, maybe? From Renegades?
Yeah. I know I saw some people saying that maybe Sean Garris will come back to Cloud9, but he wasn't an opper. I mean, he was full-on in-game leader.
That would be, like, for maybe replacing Stewie, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think that'd be a terrible idea. Like, Sean's a great dude. Like, he's
handsome.
Not what...
Just
beautiful,
gorgeous,
like, 10 out of 10.
Gorgeous,
seriously.
Piece of man.
Look him up and type in nude afterwards if you really want to get, like, I'm serious. Go for it. We need Tim do it all the time. No, the dude is just not a fragger, and you can't replace one of the top fraggers on your team with one of the sexiest men alive. Like, it's just not going to work.
So Cloud9's in a weird spot as far as when all these rumors and are flying around, and I laugh because, you know, Decay's got a job to do. And I'm not going to blame the guy for doing his job. But all of these per sources comments, that is what they are. They're rumors until the teams officially announce it or the players officially announce it. We've seen it happen before where, and not just in Counter-Strike, but even in Overwatch League, like, look at how many rumors get started and then players never get signed. Or, because, like, this all started from Stewie practicing with SK, right? And it's like, okay, well, how do you interpret that? Was he playing with SK and now Decay's interpreting it as practicing, or his sources are interpreting as that? So it's
Well, so I think Nell reported that, like, that he was practicing with them. So
but,
yeah,
I mean,
like,
my point still stands, though, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's so much can be, you know, they're still just as much media as we are in the sense of they're from the outside looking in. I mean, unless his source is, like, fallen going up to him and being like, yeah, we're practicing him to replace Taco.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, these guys have a ton of credible sources, right? They get information well before most people would be able to obtain it.
Maybe we get them and we just don't want to break it.
That is true.
Maybe we just respect our sources.
That is how we roll. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of their sources are credible. In this case, like, if you're going to tweet it out there and put it out there that it's like happening and it's like an imminent change, like, I don't know. I just don't feel it right now. I don't feel like it's like going to go down. I feel like it already would have happened. Now, I think there will be some adjustment here, and like a Skadoodle retiring, possibly that seems more realistic to me. But I don't know. Stewie is the face of NA. Like, really want to give that up?
The longer it takes for any news to break, the more and more I feel like it's not going to happen. And maybe it's just me doubting that, like you said, Stewie joined Cloud9 January of 2016. He's been on the team now for little over 2 years, and I mean, the fans of Cloud9 and North America in general, for the most part, quickly adopted him as like the poster boy for North American Counter-Strike.
They love him. Like, he had, I think, one bad tournament and got completely like shitted on after it happened, right? And then he had a good performance, and I think it just switched real quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just fell in love with him, his personality, he's energetic. And on top of that, he's a ballsy player, right? So his play style is incredibly fun to watch. I see, you know, Jack, the owner of C9, and these guys figuring out a way to keep him here. I don't know how you'd be unhappy. I mean, you got your Asian brother next to you. That whole relationship seems incredible. Coming off of a major high.
I just feel like it would be a knee-jerk roster move, right? It's been less than 3 months since the major win. They'd be doing this roster move off of recent, you know, tournaments where everyone was bad. Everyone was bad at WESG, right? I mean, no team looked stellar there. And prior, they at Summit, it was like the weekend after winning the major. I think you can make excuses, or, you know, maybe you don't even want to call them excuses, but I really think that the roster move for Cloud9 would be a mistake. At least for now, you know, unless you want to get Taco in there.
This would be a Stewie decision in my eyes, not a team.
No, yeah, I agree. I think this is Stewie looking at SK, which we didn't even mention that might be Immortals by the time all this happens anyways. Like, it could legit happen where Stewie was like, you mean I could go play with Fallen and Cold? Like, who is going to blame him on that?
They're going to win championships, I would think, right?
Like, definitely. They would instantly become one of the favorites because, I mean, look at FaZe. FaZe is not ending up being the super team that we all thought they were going to be.
But they are the best second place team we've ever seen.
They are a solid second place team. That is for sure. What else with Counter-Strike news? I think that's it really for the...
That's the big stuff, you know. That's the major things happening right now. Again, Taco leaving SK and now finding out what happens with Cloud9. America's dream, you know, like, this is our team. So it really is rough to see, you know, something.
And apparently everything that had to do with Navi's roster changes were not a thing.
Yeah, and did you hear the buyout numbers on that? They were talking like $12 million for the team type buyout and a couple, like a mil or two for Simple alone. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like people are just tossing out some crazy numbers. I don't think they actually goes that high.
No, because what was Automatic's buyout? Do you remember?
Automatic, even what's his name? Nico was like $250, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were talking millions of dollars for them. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
No way. I don't care how big esports has gotten. Those buyouts are not getting to that level just yet. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure as soon as we're done recording this episode, that's when all the news is going to break, because that's exactly how it always goes down.
Guaranteed. Stewie moves. Skadoodle retires. Cloud9 separates.
All right,
no longer an NA team.
No, they're official EU. Brazilian team. Kill me. You have, let's get into this new segment, brand new segment, production value insert here, blah, 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 blah. Over, under. Anuj, you pitched this idea in the show. I said, don't screw this up.
Well, the good news is I got this from a lot of my degenerate friends who love to gamble 24/7.
Okay.
So we talk about this a lot at work. It's something that is just fun, and it's... You know, it's part of mainstream sports gambling, obviously, at this point. And you have the two things are lines and over-under. So over-under, that would just be a fun segment. Hopefully y'all like it. Hopefully.
So what's the first one?
First one is back to what we were just talking about, basically. How many... Okay, let's set this up real quick. Let's put this under the assumption that Stewie moves over to SK. Okay?
Okay.
So how many majors does SK win? Over under on that would be one. Majors are hard to win, so we can't set that like at three or four, I don't feel.
Okay. It's funny you say that, because I'm going to say over, and I could see them winning four majors.
Jeez. That's a lot. Four majors is like a ton. That's like a dynasty in Counter-Strike.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You're winning two years of run straight to basically get four majors, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would see. I could see them, and maybe not winning, four in a row, right? But I could see that roster being good enough to where they wouldn't break it up, anytime soon. I mean,
for me,
Fnatic
I'm
ended up winning
two
in a row.
Yeah.
Could happen.
I mean, even though I just kind of said
old SK roster pretty much won. They won two in a row.
And that's why I think I'm going to take the under on this. I think it's a safer play because I think winning a major in Counter-Strike right now is really difficult.
So you don't think they would win one at all?
I think they would get to a final and compete with FaZe. I think their roster has changed quite a bit, though. Like, SK was all about chemistry, like the Brazilian chemistry that just worked. And sometimes when you see a superstar move over, it doesn't necessarily always pan out. I think they're going to have a little bit more trouble, really getting him involved. I think it'll work, but I think winning a major is a different beast. And I think they'll win tournaments. I think they can be a top, two, three ranked team again and stay there consistently. If anything, I would take a push on it and say they might get one. But going into like the threes and the fours, that's a lot of majors and a lot of consistency that's required. And if anything, I don't see them being together for another 2 years,
Okay. Brett says you're an amateur, by the way. The proper way to do over under is 1.5. So that way you can say under and it means they'll get one.
So let's do that at 1.5. Right, I
so
like
we'll
that
add
better, Brett.
0.5 to all Brett these numbers.
In. Yeah, we'll add 0.5 to all these. That's legit, Brett, coming through.
Okay.
With the baby in hand, I'm assuming.
So we have the next one here. Let's stick with some Counter-Strike here. We'll get into this in e-news, but Blast Pro Series announced all their teams today, and they announced that they're going to be, I think it's in June, right? June 23rd is when the Blast Pro Series is coming back to Counter-Strike. Of course, if you remember Blast Pro Series from last year, this was the totally not manipulated, publicized tournament of the year where just so happens to be anyone that was anyone in Counter-Strike was tweeting about it, saying how
amazing. It was like their favorite event of the year.
It was going to run all these matches. It was going to be nonstop, no tech delay, action, and it was going to revolutionize the way we watched Counter-Strike. And they're right. It did revolutionize it because they had to postpone their first day of games because there were so many tech issues. So the irony there is the one tournament where your whole selling point was that there was not going to be any tech issues, you ended up having to postpone the entire day and play some games off stream.
Yeah, I mean, some games weren't even available to us to watch, which was a real bummer. Because, like I said, the hype around that was bigger than any tournament I'd seen all year, including majors.
It was.
You agree?
And it was a fun tournament because they did, like, the one-on-ones. And, they made it a little bit more unique than other tournaments.
The UI was great for it.
So here's my over-under for you.
What do we got?
Total time for tech timeouts.
Oh, gosh.
Five and a half hours. Will we get over 5.5 hours of tech delays at this tournament?
Am I going first?
I'll let you go first.
All right. I'm going to go with the under because I just can't believe after last year that these guys are not going to spend double the time, double the money, double the energy to get this right off the bat, right? Like, there's no way you can come in and have major tech delays. Now, for whatever reason, in Counter-Strike, tech delays are like the norm. People's mouses and keyboards go off more.
Dude, there's so many audio issues.
I've been computer gaming for 20 years. I don't think I've ever had my mouse or my keyboard just randomly turn off on me or my audio just like sit there and cut out. Now, maybe if I'm changing something, but not randomly.
And then what's best is like, I mean, I could understand if maybe it was their keyboard and it legit all the way broke, right? And then they like had to get a whole new keyboard, but they're like, oh, just plug it in, plug it. Oh, look at that. My mouse works all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'll take the under. I'll take the under.
For the whole weekend, I'll go over.
Over 5.5 hours?
Dude, just because I loved it last year. You know why? Because all it takes is one, like, postpone, and then boom, that will get me over the 5 hours. Because if it's postponed, that's overnight, I'm talking. That's over 5 hours.
You really got to hope for last year's situation. Because if you have 5 hours in running time, like 30 minutes out after each
match. Dude, it's happened before. You said it. Encounters. I think this is my theory on why. Because like you can watch Overwatch League, right? And an entire a week of Overwatch will maybe have two technical timeouts. And in those timeouts, it's like a minute long because someone's game crashed or something, right? I think this is what. Because when Blizzard does the Overwatch League, and I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they don't let the players touch the actual computer themselves. Like, it's, you go in, you plug your stuff in, that's it. Like, don't mess with settings, don't mess with all of this, you know, get your monitor the way you want it, and that's it. Don't touch any files. And then the rest, you know, the game is the game, right? It's all in client.
You know why it's like that? Because Blizzard knows how to run the damn show compared to.
Or maybe
to, like,
it's just because there's more Koreans messing with the computer so they don't break
them. Players just have a ton of power in CS. So I think a lot of this is also like taking advantage of a timeout situation type thing or messing something up or
there's
whatever
that,
it may be. But,
if I don't want to be like cynical and assume they're doing it on purpose, I think it's because all of Counter-Strike and their tournaments are always like running broken files and manipulated files for these tournaments to get the UI and everything the way they have it, you know, or like to run the stats the way they do. It's all like third party modding to do half the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that just naturally breaks some of the natural files of the game, which will, you know, cause
that, I get
a million
it's a
different things
issue that I don't understand.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I get that. So I'm still going over. That's just because I'm not. You know why, though? It's because the Blast series left a bad taste in my mouth. And they're already, like, oversaturating my Twitter feed with their fake hype. It's ridiculous.
This propaganda.
That being said, if you want to hit us up, our PayPal, and I will tweet out how much I love it. Just like you've done for every other streamer. Let's see here. I'll go next here if you want. I have, let's go with Shanghai. This, we're moving on to Overwatch right now for the over-under. Over and under wins for Shanghai for the rest of the season for Overwatch League, 1.5.
No, 0.5.
0.5, okay. All right, well, yeah, you're right. Okay, yes, 0.5. 0.5 for Shanghai. I'll let you go.
I hate to do this. A part of me hates it and loves it at the same time, but I'm going to hammer the under on this. I don't see them getting. You're 0-20 right now, right? Isn't that what I mean? They're 0-20 at the moment. They haven't looked competitive. They signed a female game. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. They're just a mess right now. Okay. So I don't see them pulling out a win. I'm going to go for the straight 0-40 and I'm putting the mortgage on it.
And I don't disagree with you. I can't argue there. I honestly think that they are going to go 0-40 in their very first inaugural season in the Overwatch League ever for any team. First ever, I think they're going to go 0-40. This is the only way Shanghai wins a game. And it's because it's like the last week of the season. Them and Dallas are, you know, just bottom of the table. And maybe they find a team that's just, you know, they're out of playoff contention and all that, and the other team is just trying new things, right? Maybe.
I don't see
but even then,
wanting to be the first team to lose to them.
Dude, and that's my thing too, but even then, I feel like a Dallas Fuel team who's not even trying could still beat a Shanghai team that is. You know,
yeah,
or insert
I mean,
any.
They're bad. It takes a lot of work to go 0-20. I mean, you've got to be pretty bad to not even slide yourself a win here at some point. You're 20 games in. It's kind of like you are who you are at this point in this season.
Not to mention they had people having to go back to China for visa issues, like Undead, one of their best players. It's just, it's not looking good, buddy. It's just not looking good.
You got to add more bowl cuts or something.
More bowl cuts. I mean, they've only won 8 maps. They're 873-1.
That hurts.
They're not winning.
No, they're not.
All right, what's the next over and under? I think this is the last one, right?
Last one we got here for the day.
We'll have to do production value for this at one point in time.
We will. No, this one's an exciting one for us because this is our hometown team, right? So this is going to go to the Dallas Fuel. This is a four stage three over under of a 500 record.
All right, let me look at what their stage three record is. Can I do that? Is that cheating? Can I do this?
Wait.
Or stage three schedule.
All right, I'll let you do that.
I think they could squeeze out. Man, that's a win a week, though, right? It's pretty much what we're looking at.
Right.
I think they could do it. I'm going to
start off with Shanghai, right? Week one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go over here. I think they'll be over 500. I think so. They were looking once Dallas Fuel ended up getting rid of XQC, and I'm going to kind of use this just to blend into Overwatch League talk, if you don't mind. Once Dallas Fuel ended up getting rid of XQC, you instantly saw a change with the way they went about the game, I think, in attitude-wise with the players. They ended up bringing back Siegel. You know, he's been playing off tank while Mickey's been playing the main tank, and actually looked really good, you know, for Siegel never really playing D.Va on a competitive level. It looks like he really picked up some minor mental mistakes, right? But that's you know, that's expected. I really think that they could at least pull off 500.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with you on this. I think they will, because I think, kind of like you mentioned, at the beginning, going into stage two, and this is when we had our interview with Mike, owner of Team Envious, and he said, what were they looking forward to? You know, heading into stage two, they were looking for consistency, you know, having XQC there the whole time. They wanted to kind of let this team build. It felt like stage one was just a waste. And because of all the things that were happening and the suspensions and the drama, they thought that was all going to go away in stage two. Well, unfortunately for them, it didn't, right? XQC managed to continue to be a total F up, and they did what they had to do, and they released him. They've added AKM. They've added Rascal. I think they're going to find that consistency now. They look like they're enjoying themselves. Watching Kusta is kind of a blast, because he just seems so like down to earth and getting to see things, you know.
Even though that's a very loose rumor that they're looking to trade Kusta.
That would suck. I really like the guy. Yeah.
The rumor is that they are, and of course it's by Slasher, which he's a real hit and miss. But the rumor is that they're wanting to get Unko from LA Valiant for Kusta. I don't really know what that reasoning would be, though. Unko plays the same hero pool, give or take, that what's his face Kusta plays, right? The only thing I could assume is with the new patch coming up and with the new hero, which I'm pretty sure Bridget is going to be played in stage three. I haven't seen anything saying she wasn't going to be. That meta is going to be changed drastically. You're going to see more three tank metas with Bridget or Brigetta, whatever you want to call her. I'm going to say Bridget. In the meta, you're going to see a lot of three tanks. But again, I don't think Kusta was ever trying to limit you on that front. You know, you have guys like, you know, if you want to look at it, it's trading out of support is Chips. You know, Chips, I feel like, for the Fuel, struggles when it comes to staying alive, right? When he's playing Zenyatta, he does more survival alts than I've ever seen. Ever. Like, every time he is, I would say probably 80% of the time, he's using his alt to get away and survive. It's never to be part of that initial push.
Be part of the aggression.
Right. So the only thing I could think they were going for Unko for is because, again, his Zenyatta might be a tad better, but on paper, though, he's really not anything out of the ordinary when it comes to, especially if you're comparing him to Kusta. They really kind of have the same stats.
I think this team just needs to kind of grow some continuity here. There's just been so much that's happened. And then the fact that all of this is happening in the first season for them, right? Like in the first season of Overwatch League, to start off this way, there's already so much pressure and hype buildup and all these other emotions going on. And then you add in this team drama that was so unnecessary. I think they just need to be a little consistent now, keep their players together, let them grow a little bit. Like, look at this as a fresh, you know, this is your stage one. Like, let's get going. Let's see what this team looks like. And then if they need to make moves, we know they will, right? We know, you know, they're willing to do it. They're open to doing it. But I would like to just see a little consistency before they ship somebody else off at this point.
And looking at other teams in the league, I don't even think we mentioned it. New York ended up winning stage two, whatever you want to take away from that. I don't put much stock into who won what stage, considering it means nothing other than a bigger paycheck to the players. I guess it's something cool to hang your hat on, but it really, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't, but what it does mean, at least in stage one and stage two, New York has at least been ranked number one. They didn't win the stage in this sense, but they had the best record in each stage.
Well, no, and that's right. That part of the conversation means something, of course.
Yeah.
But here, people were freaking out because Philly ended up, you know, getting to the finals for stage two, right? And albeit they ended up looking really good towards the tail end of stage two, but they're still fourth in the league, right? You're still 13-7 as Philly. It's going to be a completely different patch, a completely different meta when it comes to stage three. So, who won, who came out on top in the playoffs for stage two? I don't know. I'm looking at the bigger picture, and it's kind of a killjoy. Maybe that's my fault.
You're looking for consistency, right? So the things that you can take away from the stages going into stage three is London and New York are both legit teams, right? They've proven to be very consistent. They've both stayed top three, you know, this whole time. Now you're going to start to see going into stage three, I feel we're going to see the true colors of a lot of these other teams, because now you're through the halfway stretch. They've had time to play. Everyone's settled into their roles. Obviously the meta and all that is changing now, but at least a lot of that other hype is gone and you can just play the game. So it's nice to see the consistency from those two teams, at least. Everything else is still kind of up for grabs looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, really, I was about to say the same exact thing. I mean, when you're looking at from the league standing points, you have New York, London, and Seoul. They're going to be, you know.
How many make the playoffs again?
Six teams make the actual, final playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really that middle of the pack that's going to do it. San Francisco, maybe with Sinatra being able to play. He didn't really look that good, though, when he ended up playing. Obviously, he's just turned 18. He's got some work to do working with the team, but we'll see how that goes. The thing with New York, though, not in stage three, but looking way ahead to stage four, they officially signed Flower. So when Flower turns 18 in May, which is just before stage four starts,
He's going to get it coming.
Dude, yes. So not only that, but they're getting one of the top Widowmakers. You know, they're getting one of the top DPS to finish off the season.
Which, a deadly Widowmaker is such a game changer, man. Just watching people play as Widowmaker that can just hit some of those flicks. And
I don't want to always bring it back to Dallas Fuel, but clearly being in Dallas, we, a little biased into watching more of their games. That's where they struggle, right? When you're watching them going up against a team that has a top Widow, because the only way to counter a Widow on the pro level is really with another Widow. You know, you can't just let her sit in the back and do heavy damage to your tanks or even picking off your healer or anything like that. So as far as getting one like Flower on your team to finish off the stage, dude, New York is going to be insane. They're really going to be the team. I mean, they're already the team to beat, but that train ain't stopping for no one. But I guess that's fair. I mean, when you have the dumbest name and logo in the league, I guess the least you can do is be the best. So, what can you do?
Always comes back to this damn logo of theirs, dude.
That's terrible, rough. Man. It's terrible. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, let me get up to my notes here. Oh, in CSGO, we have quite a bit of e-news, actually. ESL announced Brazil. ESL Brazil Belo Horizonte. Belo Horizonte announced June 15th through the 17th. I think this is... Was it DreamHack that went to Brazil? Or was that ESL last time?
No, it was ESL. They went to San something.
Okay. I believe you.
I think.
Yeah. I don't know enough to
this
argue.
This is kind of crazy, though. So this is going to be a lot of back-to-back weekends of heavy tournaments. You're going to have DreamHack Austin June 6th. You're going to have ESL Brazil June 15th. And then on to the next one, we have
I'm starting to think DreamHack Austin isn't really going to have that big of teams.
I don't think so either, but we'll have a couple of good... You know, but even if we get some good NA talent, NA is playing pretty well.
Well,
with ESL,
NRG, so right? NRG is kind of on that level, and they've been playing really
killing
good.
It right now.
They've been playing really good lately. So we'll
see. We got Blast Pro here. coming and, what, June 23rd yep. and 24th.
June's going to be a busy month for Counter-Strike.
It will be.
It's good, though.
It's my birthday month, too. And
mine. There you go. Maybe we can go to Blast Pro Series for our birthday. And
check this out. I got birthday, wedding anniversary, and wife's birthday all in June.
And my birthday.
And Tim's birthday.
We should just have a June party. We and need to do that. What, a couple weeks before? Well, so you already said a couple weeks before Brazil is DreamHack Austin. And then the week before that is ESL Dallas. So
oh, yeah.
that is a busy, busy cluster there for Counter-Strike. So hopefully all that works out well with visas or everything there. In the Blast Pro Series, though, they did announce their teams. You have SK Gaming, NiP, FaZe, Astralis, Space Soldiers, and Cloud9. So either way, Stewie is going to be at the tournament.
That's the good news.
So that's always, you know, something to look forward to. Over the weekend, you had Mouse Sports defeat VP in the finals. That's right, VP in a finals. And not only did VP get to the finals of the Future Sports Festival, dumb name, they had to beat FaZe to get there.
It was a really good series, too. I actually got to watch some like VODs on that, and that was a damn good series. VP played out of their mind, and God, you know, VP, so they give us a storyline every month. I promise these guys just like linger around enough and find a way to make
they
it.
They just want to keep it interested, man. Just keep you interested just enough. Just enough. Blizzard announced that the Overwatch World Cup is going to be again this year. They're doing another one. Big surprise. This one, though, they're doing it a little differently. So they're starting off actually going on right this very moment. You could qualify for the World Cup. What they're doing is that they're going to take up until April 28th, so a month to the day, they will be tracking average skill ratings of each country's top 150 players. Each country's progress can be tracked on the website. The top 20 countries at the end of this period will be invited to compete in the World Cup. France, South Korea, Thailand, and the United States are automatically qualified.
Will XQC be on the team?
For Canada? Probably. Don't think the Canadian skill pool is really that deep. Him and Surefour pretty much have a automatic invite every time. So that's going there. Now the actual group stage though for it starts August. So we still have a while before we really have to pay attention to it. But they did announce it. I think it's pretty cool how they literally just will take the top 150 from the game and then you can do tryouts from that. You know, like it's easily the best way that you can do it.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat way of doing it.
This was actually a couple weeks ago. We just never got around to it. Dota announced the TI18 a few weeks ago. It is actually going to be in Vancouver, Canada, or British Columbia, whatever you want to say, on August 25th or through August 20th through August 25th, rather. Did you see how much the tickets were?
Okay, I can't believe it. I really can't believe it.
Just to get to the finals 2 days, so Saturday, Sunday. $200, and that's face value, dude. Like, that's not saying aftermarket. That's $200 if you want to get buy them from Valve.
And you know they're pretty damn confident that they're going to sell out.
Dude,
if they put a
price I already looked. The first wave's already sold out immediately.
That's crazy, man. $200?
I was going to buy some and do a giveaway for our listener, but then I'm like, well, that's not really fair because we only have like two of them. That's spending I mean, at that point, I might as well just buy two tickets and give one to each listener.
And tell them to worry about their own plane
ticket. worry about your own plane ticket on there. Also, on this weekend, you have the CWL is going to overseas in Birmingham.
Not Alabama.
Not Alabama. I told the Nuge in confidence. You know, up until about maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I definitely thought that was going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, and not in the UK. And boy, was I wrong. But that's what happens, man. My wife's family is from Birmingham, so I hear Birmingham, and that's what I think of. Don't even know if it's spelt the same.
Looks the same.
Other than that, looks like here and other, you put that the Players Union might be possible.
Yeah, you're just hearing a lot more rumors of it now. I mean,
is it the Players Union always almost possible though?
Yeah, it is. I think it needs to happen, though, at this point. I mean, like you said, we just talked about these schedules, right?
Yeah.
And some of them are really crazy. And sorry if you can hear my Alexa going off in the background.
Alexa going off in the background?
Alexa, stop. There we go. Alexa thought she would just chime in and say hi.
So. Oh, she wanted to give her opinion on the players' union. Okay.
She really did. But, yeah, I just think that at this point with the way the tournament schedule is in CS, and this is really more pertaining to CS than anything,
yeah,
that there really needs to be one so we can have some breaks. And I say we. I mean, even for us, it's a chore keeping up with Counter-Strike. I can't imagine playing it.
The agony that we put our bodies through for the listener. I mean, week after week, we have to watch these matches and try to do a professional-sounding show. It's a lot.
Look,
it's a lot.
We watch some of the V4 Future Sports Festival for you guys. Tell me what that is.
I watch the Overwatch Contender League at 7 a.m. so you don't have to. That's just...
And trust me,
that's just
I didn't.
How it goes. Well, I thought it was a pretty good show. Pretty good show, man.
Really miss Brett. Really miss Brett. But he should hopefully be joining us next week.
I felt like it was okay without him. I don't know if we need him back.
I like his deep voice. He does something to me.
Well, we'll see. Maybe he'll actually buy a microphone.
Congrats to him again on the baby.
Again, yes. Congratulations on the baby. And congratulations to you, Anuj, for just being you.
Congratulations to TCR for the first live stream show.
That's right.
Hope you all enjoyed it.
That's right. Our first ever live stream show. I think the audio looked good. It sounded, I mean, you know, looking at levels, it looked okay. I don't know. I'll go back and listen to it, see what it sounds like. One thing, we are on Twitch. We will stream every episode on Twitch, but it will still always be a podcast first. So never feel like you have to watch us on Twitch. There's literally not even a webcam. You can't even see my face. There's a reason I work in radio. I promise. You're not missing anything. So if you're a podcast person, all good. Hit us up on Twitter, though, if you did watch us live. What did you think? How did it sound? At The Center Ring. You can hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. Next week, episode 99. And the week after that, the big 100. Be prepared to be disappointed with what little special things we have going on. But until then, for Anuj, I'm Tim. Later.